You can be turning to Ephesians 6. This is a question that someone asked me, and it's a real good question. I've been through this question in one form or another myself in my own life, off and on many times, and it's one of those that you almost have to relearn again every now and then and get your bearings. But it says, I have a question concerning fighting the devil. I have heard some say that we are in a battle with the devil. And you've heard Dave say this, that we have to get past his worst before we can have God's best. We've all heard Dave say that. And right on the other hand, I've heard some say that the devil has been totally defeated. I've heard Dave say that too, you know. But he says defeated. You know, he has no feet, you know. You know, has been totally defeated, and we are to rule as an occupying army. And then the same person said that the only fight we are to be engaged in is the fight of faith. And that's true. Now, that part there is true. And I have read the scripture on the subject, have my own ideas, but I'd like to ask you to pray and perhaps teach on it if the Holy Spirit would lead you. Well, He's leading me, so let's do it. Now, this is a real good question, see, because if I'd have had more time tonight, I would have looked up certain scriptures like on a balance sheet. You know, on the one side, we are more than conquerors through Him who has delivered us. And we thank for God who always leads us in triumph, you know, and we have overcome Him. And by no means shall the enemy harm you. You know, we have total authority. We could have a whole column of scriptures like that. Then right on the other hand, we could have Paul saying, I have fought the good what? I fought the good fight. You know, we could look up verses like this one here in Ephesians 6 especially. It says for like 6:12. Well, we'll start in 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, wait a minute. Hold your place there. Go over to 1 John chapter 3, just for one of those other kind of verses. And look at verse 8. This is the one that, by coincidence, it's not coincidence, but this is the one Dave quoted this morning. Reason people don't like to teach out of this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Well, so he's destroyed, right? Well, so why over here in Ephesians 6 does it say we have to fight against the wiles and the strategies of the devil? And notice he says, and it goes on verse 12, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, indicating we wrestle against something. What are we wrestling against? And he doesn't say past tense. He means now. We wrestle currently with principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he goes into taking the whole armor of God. I've been through this back and forth in my mind, especially in the early days. I'd get all, you know, I'd go to, like where they're emphasizing one side. See, that's the problem with teachers. You can hear the same thing almost come out of, you go to that same teacher long enough, and you go to one service, it's the devil's totally defeated, I'm telling you, you got nothing to fear, you know, and we need to have confidence, and that's all true. But see, then in another time, it sounds like, well, you got to fight the good fight of faith, because the devil's going to, he's got, I did one 2 weeks ago called His Personal Strategies Against You. And how to overcome those, His personal strategies against you, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it's pretty good, wasn't it? So, which is it? It's both. Finally, the Lord gave it to me this way. I think this helped me. I believe it'll help you. You remember when God told Joshua, and really Moses, and then Joshua, about the promised land? What did God say? I have given you the land. And at that moment, they're not possessing one square inch of it. Now, for years, God didn't give them the land. You know, it says, the cup of the Amorites is not full. And that's one of the reasons that there was that 430 years. God was giving the Amorites and the Hittites and all of those people opportunity to repent. God loves everybody. He's not out to destroy anybody. He's not willing that any would perish. And for hundreds of years he dealt with them trying to get them to repent. They wouldn't. And finally he says, the cup of the Amorites is full. I have given you the land. Now when God says it, is it done? Absolutely it is. I mean, it's like he's the great judge in heaven. Like the gavel comes down, I render a verdict. The land is yours. But you're standing on this side of Jordan. You send spies across. God, we appreciate you giving us the land. Have you noticed? We've took a look over there. There be giants in the land. We saw the sons of Anak there. Now, it's a good land. We have you know, these grapes that takes two men to carry them out. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. You know, I mean, I will give you some testimonies in a minute. I mean, it's a good land, but all the people there are warlike. The cities are fortified. They have walls around them. And the sons of Anak, the giants are in the land. We compared ourselves with them. We're grasshoppers in their sight. So based on all that, they come to a conclusion. We be not able to take the land. Now, that's the closest analogy, you know, the type and shadow that I see for what's happened for us in this new covenant. Listen, Jesus has done all the work. The devil has been defeated. If he could have stopped, if he would have understood what was about to happen at the cross, he would never have allowed that to happen. Never. That's another reason why it had to be hid in a mystery until after the cross. And then later, now repent and let your sins be blotted out and you can be converted. But the devil had to, if he would have known what was about to happen, it happened anyway. God gave us the new nature. Do you know your inheritance is already fully yours? Mm-hmm. Everything except the body. We can't get that until the sound of the trump. Mm-hmm. But everything heaven has is already ours. All the every gifting, every anointing, everything you need for your victorious walk is already yours. God's not holding back anything. I have given you the land. Now the fight is to possess it. It's called the fight of faith. Now the enemy truly has been destroyed, but I'll just tell you right now, cancer will kill you if you let it. Y'all hear about that in World War II on some of those Japanese islands? Where they didn't get the word, those Japanese guys did not get the word that the war was over. Mm-hmm. And so they're still hid out in caves. And I mean, years later, 5 years after the war was over, you know, somebody go on those islands and those guys would come out and attack them. Because they don't know that the war's over. It's kind of like that. The devil, he's obviously got wiles and strategies. Even though it's over, he'll defeat you if he can. And so the real fight is the fight of faith. Well, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not fables, those of you that were here this morning. Not fables, but the true Word of God. What God really said. Not only what He says in His Word, but see what, as you do this message, you're going to start receiving His Word personally for you. What He's called you to do. See? I've heard enough of His personal word to me. It won't do for me to go out and try and pastor a church. It really just won't. I mean, if I did that, He would bless it. Really, He would. He'll do anything to help us, you know. But see, I've heard enough of His word. I already know He's not calling me to pastor a church. I'm called to teach. He's already told me He never will call me to pastor a church, so I don't need to. That's, you know. So now, wouldn't it be silly for me to ignore that and go out and try and pastor a church? That's not, I mean, He would bless it what He could, but it'd always be a, you know, not much to it. Because it's not what He's called me to do. Well, trust me. As soon as you find out what it is, anything that God's called you to do, and you set out to do that, that's when all hell comes against you. Am I telling the truth, Rudy? Rudy was just telling. Do you know, look, y'all look back here at Rudy. Now, he doesn't say much. He just, okay, I know. I'm not going to tell much. Do you know he's still possessing the land, an assignment that God gave him 22 years ago? He's a man after my own heart. 22 years. I have trouble getting people to confess the word for a week. You know, or for 4 hours. God had trouble getting me to do it for 4 hours. And here's a man that's been possessing that land for 22 years. And I mean the devil has thrown it, not just financially, but emotionally, probably physically, family problems. You could mark four. Persecution, affliction, for the word's sake. Trying to kill the vision. Say, would you please stop? And Rudy goes, no! I won't stop. God has given me the land. I have His word. I know what He told me. And I'll be here killing giants the next time you see me. So it is a total victory. I mean, Rudy goes, it's done. There's not a doubt about me accomplishing this. That's not ever in question. Not really. See, that's how you know that it's done. But it is a fight of faith to possess the land. And the type and shadow is exactly like the Old Testament. That's why here the armor against him is armor that anybody, any believer has. The armor of God is not just for intellectual people. You don't have to have a college degree. It's not just for the skinny people or the more fully fleshed out. Anyway, couldn't think of any good words. So. If you're a believer, full figured. There you go. I like that. Hallelujah. Who said that? Glory to God. Full figured. Good. But let's look at this armor just for a minute. See, that's why it comes out both ways. Positionally, if you'll allow me, see the fact when God says, I have given you the land, is that truth?
Yes.
But it's a positional truth at that moment. It's absolutely true. God absolutely meant what He said. That doesn't mean there's not a possessing. So there's a positional truth, and then there's temporal truth. And that's where you've got to possess it by faith. All right, now, let's look at the armor just for a minute. It says, verse 12, for we wrestle not, and that's a current wrestling, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, meaning, the example he's going, now Joshua and those that crossed over the river Jordan, they literally had to fight humans. They had to fight the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and all of those. We're not fighting those. Our warfare is not in the natural like that. But boy, it's no less of an enemy. See, had a nice Father's Day lunch. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And boy, if you haven't heard Dave's set of tapes on Satan's war machine. Thank you. Boy, he goes into great detail about what each one of these are. And, we couldn't begin to touch it here in what time we have here tonight. But, I mean, it is the filet mignon. Yes. And by the time you get through with Satan's war machine, you'll understand principalities and powers. Now, just so most of you'll know, we're not really fighting principalities at this level. I'll tell you where we are at this level, though. It's not really principalities. It's not exactly powers. Powers. You know when Dave talks about that time when his pencil jumped out of his... That powers, they're called that because they literally can... They've got some power in the natural realm. They can cause certain things, noises, bumps in the night, a lot of, things like that. But that's really not normally the level most believers. Okay, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. That just means heavenly places. Now, the ones that the prayer center is up against, we don't have to guess. It's the rulers of darkness. Rulers of darkness. And I know most of you heard this, but it's good to hear it again. Because at one of the services a few years ago, Sue and I were here. We were at this service. Boy, I mean, the spirit that's normally here, how free it is. And, we have fun and how Dave is, he's enjoyable to listen to. That day, it was like there was a cold, wet blanket over the whole crowd. And Dave describes it to him, what it was like for him is like everything I said, the words were like pancakes that went out on the floor. I wanted to go get a spatula and throw them back up in the air, it was like there was this dead blanket. And he was so glad when the service was over, he just wanted to get out of the room and he's headed over there and somebody says, good service, Pastor Dave. And he wanted to go, liar. But just as he's starting to walk that away, he glanced over here at that door and God opened his eyes and he saw in the realm of the spirit, literally, a tall, fairly tall, humanoid type figure that was like in brown burlap with a hood and a rope for a belt. He says, now he knows where those monks get their dress clothes, because this thing, and the hood kind of, his face, you couldn't really see his face very well, But he said, that was the leader. And he says, he saw, like, all around the room, there was just dozens and dozens, maybe 100 devils. And those devils were just, they were going by everybody and whispering in their ears. And he could hear, literally hear what they were saying. And they were saying things like, something's wrong at this church. Can't you feel that something's wrong at this church? You need to go somewhere else. This, you need to leave this. This is something wrong. This is a cult. This is that. This is. They were just whispering all these things in their ear. Not really whispering, but it was like, they're just talking and talking. And he saw that. He said, that's what caused that blanket. You know, okay. That very next week, we had, was it 22 people? 22 of the front row type people. The leaders of the church. And okay, I remember when that was 1995. That's a long time ago. We were pretty new. I was barely out of the trucks. But I was at that meeting where they read Dave the Riot Act. And they left. 22 of them. Now that was a strategy against the church. And how we know that, see, a ruler of darkness is like, they're assigned like a certain area. And they do exactly what their name says. Their job is to make sure that darkness rules over this area. That there be no penetrations of light, that there be no revival. And if they start seeing too much truth coming, too much anointing coming, too much anything, then one of them will go back and report to this ruler of darkness. He'll gather a bunch of demons and they'll come and they'll try and take the leadership out. They got 22. 22. The very next week, they'd never been back either. None of them that I know of. 22 of them. Well, Dave had to learn. It took him, it took a little while. He said that happened more than once later. It took a little while for him to understand, oh, they're going to keep doing this until I stop them. See, that's the thing. And now comes the fight of faith. It's like the Japanese on those islands. The war is over, but they're still fighting like it's not. And they'll still kill you if they can. They'll destroy your church. They'll destroy your finances. They'll destroy your family. They'll destroy anything. Because that's all the devil does is kill, steal, and destroy. That's all that he does. Okay? So now Dave had to learn. He says, oh. And Daisy, I think, was the one that ran back and said, it's a spirit of religion. And it really was. It's a ruler of darkness, a spirit of religion. Okay? And at first Dave thought it was a vision, but it wasn't a vision. Now that is discerning of spirits. God opened his eyes where he could literally see what was really going on in the spirit realm. Sue had that happen at the not too many years after we moved into our rent house, where we've lived now for 22 years. And every now and then she'd see these. Let me say this. I have to remember. She saw it. I didn't. I have to remember and I get it exactly right. Okay. Yeah. In the early days when we first moved in that house, there were some problems. I'm not going to go into detail, but there were some problems. And we took authority over every room in the house. We spoke God's word. We commanded everything to leave. I went ahead. We anointed the doorpost with oil. We did every room, every patio door and everything. Well, I'm not one to see into the realm of the spirit. I've never seen an angel. I've never seen a devil, but Sue has. Okay, she's seen both. And I mean not a vision. She sees them once in a while, not all the time. Aren't you glad about that? But I am. Anyway, you know. Well, she started seeing every once in a while these two angels posted at our patio door. And they were just always there like on attention. They were just there. And she says they were both male. One of them had features like an American Indian almost, you know, with that shaped nose and everything. Very regal and very... They just had this air of power. You don't want to, you know, you wouldn't ever want to mess with one of these guys. Every now and then she'd just see him. Not any other place, but she'd see him. Oh, and by the way, after we did that, all that stuff that was going on in the house stopped. It never come back. Years later, we find out that not the people that owned the house that we were renting it from, but the people who had it before them, that house was the drug house in the neighborhood. That's where the drugs were sold. And the way our house is made, that patio door is completely hidden from the street. It's got an L shape. And if you came around the side, see, nobody could see the buys happening at that patio door. Right there is where it all happened. So where does God post the angels? Right there at the door. I believe they're still there now. I can't see them. I go, I know, I like to tease them.
I know you boys are here.
I can't see you, but I know you're here. They never answer back, and I'm glad about that, actually. Now, see, in a way, we had to take authority over that house because somehow the enemy thought that was ground that belonged to them. The people before had kind of opened the door or something. Well, these devils that were coming here, for some reason, you know, I guess the ruler of darkness is going, this is my territory, and I'm going to stamp out any episodes of light. And so Dave, I don't think it was the, you know, I think it happened once or twice more. He didn't necessarily tell us about it. But he says, I had to start taking authority. And I remember a couple of times that blanket would come. You could just feel it. And he'd go, all right. Now he'd do it real nonchalant. He'd go, I know you're here. And I'm telling you, you can't stay. In the name of Jesus, leave now. And it would lift. That blanket would just, whew. And he'd just go right on, and then from the service, it'd be fine. He said he had to do that like two or three times, I think he told me, and it's been years now since he hadn't had to do it again. Now, isn't that something? So it says here, let's look at the armor just a little bit. It says, wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Well, that sounds like there's a current fight going on. In the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now, see, I like to word things. I'm just a real practical guy, okay? I would, if it was me, I would probably, from my understanding, I'd say it like this. If you'll take this armor and learn how to stand, you're going to win. And if you don't take this armor and learn how to stand, you're going to fall. This morning we talked about fables a little bit. Whoa, God. Wait a minute. Whew. Fables. The church is still believing so many myths, fables that just aren't true. We see two believers. Two of them, they're sick. They both got the same thing. One dies, one gets healed. And something, because of what the fables that we still believe, something way down says, well, maybe, you know, just maybe it's just not always God's will to heal everybody. That is a complete fable. We don't want to believe the truth. The truth is, whatsoever you ask, Matthew 20, I'm not going to try. Hold your place. Go to Matthew 21, I think it is. See, and if we believe fables, we're never going to believe the truth. Yeah, I should. Matthew 21:22. I remember the first time I heard, first time I heard Norville teach on this verse way back in 80 or 81 at one of the old camp meetings. And he would say, but Brother Norville, you teach all this faith, you know, I like to imitate Norville. Brother Norville, he says, but, you know, I know you're teaching about faith, you know, but I had my Aunt Susie. She was the best Christian, and she loved the Lord, Brother Norville. She loved the Lord, and she confessed the Word, and she prayed, and she believed, and Norville, and she died, and she believed. I'll never forget what he said. He said, how could you know anybody like that when, since the beginning of time, there's never been anybody like that? It always gets quiet right here. There's never been anybody. Because look, does Jesus lie or does Jesus tell the truth? Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. He says, how could you know anybody like that? When since the beginning of time, there's never been anybody like that. Because if you believe it, you will receive it. We don't like that answer. We don't like that answer. I don't know how many of you was at the camp meeting quite a few years ago, and they brought a little baby down from Canada that had cancer. It had those nodules. Was it Canada? Anyway, from somewhere. and it had those nodules on its head. We were all here. There was hundreds of us. We were praying and interceding, and we had lots of ministers here from all over. We had, you know, everybody was doing everything, and the baby died. Now, see, part of you goes, see there, Brother Gary? It just couldn't have been God's will. It just couldn't have been. I mean, and see, the Word of God never changes. The truth is, with all of our collective faith, and all of us believing as hard as we could, God still couldn't find enough in us for Him to pour that miracle through us. We don't want to believe that, but if we don't face it head to head, we'll never fight it. We've got to overcome unbelief. The only reason that the first people didn't possess the land, I'm going through Hebrews for you again, trying to get it in a format where I can get it all out. And the only reason they didn't possess the land was because of unbelief. Because of their unbelief. They measured the circumstances against themselves, and they came to the conclusion, we be not able to possess the land. Yes, sir. Okay, yes, sir. I didn't know how in the world he was going to work that in. God, he's good. All right, now listen. One of the most anointed things that came, this was an interesting week this past week. I mean, it was really, we had a lot of ministry. And one of the things that came out of my mouth that, you know, you act like you always know stuff. You know, Dave taught me that. He says, when something really comes out and it's really anointed and that's the first time you ever knew it, just act like you always knew it. And I was talking with somebody who's been around the Word of Faith and around all of this for over, see, I got saved in 1980. So, what's that, 27 years. So we have to be saying 28, 29, almost 30 years. Not a novice. Somebody who's been in ministry for over 25 years. And he was talking to me about trying, that it's been kind of hard financially, and it has been. And how God's always come through and showed His faithfulness, but it's always been like barely enough. And you know that testimony I tell all the time, you know, at the end of the day, Rudy and I were talking about this, at the end of the day, okay, we didn't die today financially, but you look at the checkbook and you go, surely we're going to die tomorrow. And it's been much the same for him, you know. And we were talking, he was on the phone talking. And in the course of it, he said this. And when he said it, something came out of my mouth, you know. He said, all these years, I wanted to believe for more. And I said, you ready? For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. I said, every prisoner wants out of jail. But wanting to get out isn't what gets you out. Wanting, I say, if you stay with that, wanting to believe for more, you'll be wanting to believe for more when you call me 10 years from now. Every prisoner wants out of jail. See, it reminds me of Dave's series back there called The Prison is in the Mind. The prison is in the mind. Hallelujah. Wanting to be healed, wanting to get into your calling, wanting to believe for more. We all want that. If it was based on desire, everybody would be walking in it. It's based on the renewing of the mind. Let's just go there for a minute. Go to where is it? Romans 12. Hallelujah. If you haven't heard that set of tapes called The Prison is in the Mind, you ought to. Because, yes, sir. Come in. All right, let's stay with that case. He's not wanting me to leave there. See, to stay with that case. Now, that's a good one. Well, let me just ask. How many of y'all would like to believe for more? Okay, I mean, you know, it's usually a unanimous thing. Everybody, you know, we'd all like to have a little more, you know. But wanting to have more, even with the way he said it, I wanted to believe for more. I wanted to believe for more. Everybody wants that. It could be healing. I want to believe for healing more in my body or for my child or for, you know, I want to believe for God to come in my family. I've got wayward children or, you know, wanting to believe for more. Mm-hmm. All right. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's really just look at verse 2 so we stay on the subject. Be not conformed to this world. But, boy, if this ever goes off in you, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every prisoner wants out of jail. The prison is in the mind. If you could picture with me, every time I get right here, he teaches me in pictures, and I see a prisoner pacing in his jail cell. He's pacing. Some prisoners are in tiny little, you know, 6x8 cubicle, tiny, tiny little thing. Other prisoners are in bigger cells. See, and why he shows me that is some people are freer than others. But I'm telling you right now, wherever you're walking at the limit of your cell. And you're not going past there unless the bars come down. Now, there may be another set of bars around the cell you're in. Strong holds. In other words, there's degrees of freedom. But see, you're walking like a tiger in a cage. He walks the fullness of it, doesn't he? He walks to one side and he walks to the other side. And every one of us is walking right to the limit of our own strongholds. And that stronghold is not God. See, here's the fables. Well, if God would only do this for me, if God would only do that for me, and God's going, I wish you'd tear down the strongholds. Amen. Tear down those bars. I've got freedom for you. But the strongholds are in the mind. Now see, God did what He did. He renewed our spirit. He renewed our spirit. You're born again in the Spirit. Yet we couldn't do that for ourselves. She asked me the good question. She just wasn't here the night I taught it on 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. What that's talking about right there is our spirit. That's our spirit. The thing we couldn't do, we couldn't change our nature. That He had to do for us. I mean, that's free for the asking. You just, I believe, I receive, you know, just come into my heart. And He'll quicken you, and you literally become a new person. Your spirit goes from death to life, and you're born then of God the Father. And that's what He says. You have no history. Your father is God. See, that's why generational curses, I'm sorry to tell you this, it's another fable. Yeah. It's an absolute fable. And I don't care how you dress it up. It's absolute. It's just another fable. Because those curses they're talking about are not, we're not, strongholds is completely different. I'm talking about where you got to repent for something your great, 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 great granddaddy did. You know? Listen, when you're born again, old things pass away.
Amen.
Spiritually, you only go back one generation. Jesus is your Adam.
Hallelujah.
And you only go back to Him, and God is your Father. And there are no spiritual, there's no curses passed down to you from Him. Now, strongholds can be passed down. Strongholds in the mind. You know? And that's what we're talking about. And everybody has them, even you. Even me. Dave says all the time, says, Gary, we still got things yet to learn. We're still, if that wasn't the case, we'd already be in the revival. Because God's not holding it back. We're walking the cage as far as we could go right now. I'm walking in all the anointing I know how to walk in. God's going, there's a lot more for you, Gary. Well, I wish you'd tear these bars down. See, and that's the thing. He says, does it? Look what it doesn't say. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but wait on God to transform your mind. See, that's the way they do. We stand on, okay, this pulpit represents the Jordan River here. Over there is the promised land. Isn't it big? Looks big with all the chairs gone, doesn't it, Sam? And we're standing over here, and we're looking over, and God, this voice, you know, I watched Moses, I watched the Ten Commandments. You know how God sounds. I have given you the land. And we're going, hallelujah. But we're standing on this side of Jordan. And we're looking over there and we see the Hittites and the Amorites. And there's Jericho with a walled, fortified city. And there's the sons of Anak. And so we all say, okay, let's build some bleachers over on this side. Let's set up some popcorn stands and hot dog stands. And we're going to sit here, Lord. We're going to enjoy this while we watch You possess our land. Isn't that what we want? It's the same thing with the renewing of the mind. Look at all the freedom right there. This isn't a coincidence. Look at all the freedom right there. That's a big room. We're over here in this little bitty room. And we're pacing back and forth. We're operating in our calling, all that we know how to operate in. A gospel entrepreneur, he's not slacking. He's doing all that he knows to do. He's pacing his cage as wide as it'll go. And God's going, I got a bigger cage for you. He wouldn't say it that way. I've got freedom for you. I've given you the land. Your calling is bigger than where you're walking.
Amen.
Your calling is bigger than where you're walking, see? And well, how do I go from where I am to operating in more of that freedom? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have, that's the thing He will not do for us. And boy, are we going to the right church.
Yes.
To know how to renew the mind, how to learn, how to find, to get past the fables. And I sat down with one man this week and I just went through a few of the basics. Things we take for granted around here. We just say, oh yeah, another filet mignon, I'll eat it. You know, because we're used to getting the truth. I just shared Luke 6:38 with this guy. He's from another country. He stood up. When he saw what it was really about, he stood up and got angry.
Yep.
He says, I've been lied to all my Christian life.
Yep.
He's, it just, you know, I did too. I got angry when I started finding it out. But man, if you want to know the truth, you're going to the right church.
Amen.
To learn how to meditate the Word of God in whole images. So you're not led around by the nose by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike, you know? How'd y'all like? I read one of those this morning that Kenneth Hagin talked about in the early 30s. There was this thing on the radio preacher, and he would for only a $10 offering, he'd send you this anointed red string. Yeah. Really? And if you wore this red string, this anointed red string, if you was fat, you'd lose weight. And if you're skinny, you'd gain weight. For only a $10 offering. And I'm just laughing. I think, boy, how stupid is that guy? And then the very next paragraph, it says, oh, and then there was this other guy that for only a $25 offering, he'd send you a wallet. And I'm going, oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah, he'd send you this wallet that always had money in it. And I'm going, cost me $100 later when I sent my $100 in. Absolute fables. How do they do that? Lifting a verse out of its setting. You can make it say anything. This one of the, he says, well, you know, it's like, you know, like sowing and reaping in good ground. And I'm going, well, where are you getting that? And I said, Mark 4. I said, Mark 4 isn't talking about money. It's talking about sowing the word.
That's right.
And he, what? here we are, right there in Starbucks. Hey, I don't care. Get the Bible out. Look what God says, you know. People getting their lattes, you know.
Running away.
I said, the sower sows the what?
The
word. The sower, I'm showing him. The sower sows what?
The word.
The word. The word is, again, anger. Now, on the way home, That one right there, because I was going, well, how silly is that for anyone to believe that? On the way home, God had to remind me, 20 years ago, I believed that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I did. I had been taught that same stuff out of that same passage by probably those same guys.
Right.
And those guys are good guys. I'm not going to mention them by name. They love God. When we get to heaven and they start, you know, the gold, silver, precious stones, they're going to remain, you know. As long as you don't mess with the foundation, the wood, hay, and stone. Those guys are going to have a lot bigger stack than I've got. They won more men to Jesus, more people to Jesus than I have. But it still doesn't mean that all their doctrine is right.
That's right.
Whew, I'm preaching good. I'm getting... Hallelujah. Renewing the mind is where it is, y'all. I'm telling you, you want to fight the good fight of faith?
Mm-hmm.
Start renewing your mind.
Amen.
Ask the Holy Spirit. Just say, hey, listen, when I started praying in tongues, at first, I wanted to direct His teaching. I would like to learn today about this subject. You know? I'm in the trucks. I'm going to be praying for 8 hours, 9 hours. Say, Holy Spirit, I'd like to learn about healing today, or I'd like to learn about this today. Well, let me ask you guys. When you went to school, did you walk into the class and say, teach us biology now? Or did the teacher come in and you sit your hiney in a chair and they're going to tell you, you're going to learn what they think you need to learn. Well, that's exactly the way the Holy Spirit is. And my job was to pray. His job was to teach.
Amen.
Now trust Him. You can trust Him. You spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, He'll go right for the bars of your stronghold.
Amen.
He's going for the bars of your cage. He knows right where they are. He knows just what the problem is. And He can bring those bars down. But it means that when the revelation comes, you've got to possess the land. And you've got to be willing to change. You've got to, things, I don't care if your daddy believed it, and his daddy believed it, and his daddy believed it before him. If it's not truth, you've got to let it go.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Receive the truth. I started to get even worse this morning than I did. Did you know two people left? I got them, at least two that I know of got offended and left. I feel bad about that, you know, not too much. But I know, really, I do hate it when people get offended. I wish I had more time. You know, I just didn't have, you know. I started to do it like this. Because one of the things we attacked real strong was the hundredfold return. You know. And I started, use Dave's little voice of unbelief. But Brother Gary, I don't care what you say. I believe in the hundredfold return. I believe that when I give, every dollar I give, God's going to give me back 100 times. And I started to do this. Do you believe when it thunders that that's Thor pounding his hammer? Or when lightning strikes, that's Zeus throwing bolts of electricity? Because that's just, what you're telling me is just as much as a myth as those two things. Do you believe in Hercules? Mermaids, you know, on and on. Oh, hey, somebody sent me a Facebook one time that took authority over mermaids.
Oh, no.
Now, that person's in a tiny little cage. They're not pacing very far, okay? I kid you not. I kid you not. A book in print. And I hate to tell you this part, he's a pastor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. How does Dave say that? All right. So the answer to the question is, we've got to close this up. Now, the answer to the question, the original question was, concerning fighting the devil. I've heard some say that we're in a battle with the devil and we have to overcome. On the other hand, I've heard others say that he's totally defeated and we're to rule as an occupying army. See, both of those things are true. I have given you the land. The devil has been defeated. He has no authority over us. We really have all authority over him. See? But it's for those that believe that and those that not only believe it, but when the devil attacks, you act on it. In the same way that Dave had to take authority over those spirits here, they'd still be coming like that. You have to learn to take authority over whatever the enemy's doing.
Amen.
That we, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had that message called His Personal Strategies Against You. Remember that?
Yes.
That'd be a good one. It's at Ictus, www.iktus.net. And you can listen to it. So it's both true. Listen, you are more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite definition of that is? A husband goes out and works all week. I mean, he works hard. He conquered. He comes home, he gets his paycheck. Bless God, he conquered. Comes home, kisses his wife on the cheek, hands her the check. She is more than a conqueror. Well, Jesus came, he did all the work. He fought, he did it all. He fully defeated the enemy. And he comes to us and says, now here's your inheritance. He conquered. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. He is the husband. We are the bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a good one. Now we need to, first off, if you don't have that set of tapes of Dave's, it's called The Prison is in the Mind. I highly recommend that. The Prison is in the Mind. And think about that tiger. Trust me, it's not God keeping you where you are. You are pacing as far as you can go. In your own little, in your strong, me too, in our strongholds. We're all pacing as, we're walking as far as we can go. We're going to have to renew our minds. move into the next level of freedom, where we can walk further into our anointing than we are now. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Let me get closer.
The table that kept me in my cage,
talk right there,
was that God is in control. He is sovereign.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So therefore, I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
I just sit in my stadium seat.
Okay.
And let Him
okay.
do all the work.
Does that sound like Ephesians 6?
No.
See, I run into this real strong. You run into it in America too, but especially in Korea when I go over there. I've had some of those pastors, not at Jin Ho's church, but the ones that come. Boy, they just get so... I had one of them just an inch from my nose, just so mad at me, the spittle is landing on my shirt, you know. Just, God is sovereign. He does what He wants. Who are you to claim healing or anything else, you know? Just thundering at you. He spoke English. I wish he just spoke Korean, but anyway. I wouldn't. On the inside, I'm going, God, help me, help me, help me. I need, what's a good answer? I said, I agree with you. God is sovereign. And He sovereignly chose 2,000 years ago to send His Son to the cross. So He bore my sins so I could have His righteousness. He bore my sicknesses and carried my pains so I could be healed. And He bore my poverty so that through His poverty I could have wealth. I didn't choose that. God did. He sovereignly chose to do that. All I'm doing is choosing to believe in the sovereign God who made that decision.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I think spittle was landed on His shirt, and I'm happy about that. Glory to God. That's the difference. I have given you the land. Well, He expects us to go possess it. He sovereignly chose to give us all this. He sovereignly chose to send Jesus. Yes, ma'am.
And that's where the born-again trail came in, because it talked about the power of the new nature.
Yes.
See, if I didn't understand what I had been made into. But once I realized that that spirit that I've been given is the same as Jesus is, which right. is the same as God,
right.
then I knew that I had the power to do what Jesus said I should do.
Absolutely.
Possess the land.
Absolutely.
But all that was hidden because under the cloak of
sovereignty. Yeah.
And that I was just forgiven.
Are you glad you go to this church?
You don't.
Anybody else? Anybody else glad? Let me hear it. Hallelujah. Me too. Hallelujah. All right. I don't want to disobey Him. He's told me time and again the number one sin of the Spirit-filled, born-again church that really loves Him is the sin of silence. The sin of silence. The enemy comes. Circumstances come. And we do nothing except talk about how bad it is. Seldom, it's very seldom that people really, without it being a show and without other people being around, understand, okay, this is the enemy and I'm going to take authority. Not in my house, you don't. Not in my house, you don't. In the name of Jesus. And start taking authority over those things. The sin of silence. What if Adam had not have remained silent? You know, it tells us that he was standing right next to Eve. Standing right next to Eve all that time that the serpent was saying all that stuff to her. And he stood there silent. Had total authority, total dominion over that garden. All he would have had to say is, in the name of my God, you get out of this garden now. And it would have been the end of it. The sin of silence. That's why I think he's reminding me right here, the King of Kings has made a decree and I am speaking in his stead. Jesus has no lips on this planet, no tongue on this planet, but ours. And if we don't take authority, it don't get took. Can I say it that way? If we don't do it, again, okay, I'm seeing, the vision, Kenneth Hagin, you know, if you remember, I know, yes, okay, I'll just... He's the book, I Believe in Visions.
Yes.
Remember that vision where he's come up hither and the Lord brought him up to heaven and he's standing there with Jesus, but there was this little devil. Mm-hmm. They kept jumping up and down and jumping up and down, yammering. And he's trying to hear Jesus, and he can't hear what Jesus is saying because of that devil. And he keeps thinking, why doesn't Jesus make that thing leave? You know, why doesn't he do something? And finally, he had enough, and he just said, get, or something like that. Get out, shut up, or something. I'd have to read it again. And the thing left. And Jesus says, if you hadn't have done that, I couldn't. Not that I wouldn't. I couldn't. See, on planet Earth, to have authority here, you've got to have a body from Adam. And until this dispensation is over, you've got to have a body from Adam. Okay? Until it, the way Hagin puts it, until his lease runs out. Until the end of this dispensation. Sam Walton had a lot of power when he was on the Earth. Now, his corporation still has a lot of power. He ain't directing it no more. He lost his authority. Mm-hmm. See, once you leave, you lose your authority. And others have to do it. Well, the biggest sin from God's point of view, we don't speak in His stead. We don't speak as the mouth of Christ. We don't take authority in His name. And we just let things happen because, again, the reason for that is we've been so programmed in the mind, we think like the world. Well, this is normal. No, it's not normal. St. Jude's Hospital being full of little kids dying of cancer is not normal from heaven's point of view. It's not normal. You know? Stuff that happens to us is not normal. God's going, no. Why? That's why Jesus said, pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's already being done here according to His will, why pray that? It's not His will. We have to pray. Anyway, I can't teach another whole deal on that. But right there, I am speaking in His stead. Are you?
Yes.
The next time the devil rears his ugly head in your house, that's the trouble. We don't see him, you know. And if he walked, like Dave says, if he walked in with a red, you know, all red with horns and a tail, we'd go, aha! You are the devil, or the devil, you know. But it's the circumstances normally or something. And we just don't recognize it for what it is. And even if you do, seldom you still don't actually use the mouth and take authority over it. I don't know when, but we're going to be doing another series soon on stewardship. And it's going to incorporate a lot of things that you've already heard. But some illustrations maybe that you haven't. Now, even you women have a billfold somewhere. You call it something else, a pocketbook or something, you know. Now see, steward. Okay, for benefit of the tape, I'm holding my own wallet in front of me right now. Now question number one. There's money in here, see. I say thousands and thousands. What do you say about yours? Anyway. But there's money in here. Question number one, whose is it? Well, there should be a division. There's provision, and then there's pound. There's stewardship. He knows that we have need of all these things. See, but in most people's mind, other than church, when the offering comes, in their mind, all during the week, most people do not really have the mindset of a steward. You know, they really don't. They don't think like that during the week. Okay? All right, so let's just say that first, okay? Let's just say for teaching purposes tonight that what's in here is the Lord's. All right, now, see this hand? My hand. I'm holding up my hand. Whose hand is that? Well, it's Gary's. But when it comes to my stewardship, whose hand is that?
The Lord's.
It's the Lord's. He doesn't have any other hands except our hands. So the Lord, He's living in us. And I'm going to use Stephanie. And the Lord says, now, steward Gary, I want you to take my hand, the Lord says, my hand, and reach into you. That wallet and take out five of my dollars. And I want you to give it to Stephanie.
Thank you.
And she gratefully receives it. Hallelujah. Now, see, how is it with you and your hand? And see, I trust my hand in my wallet. You know, if my hand just indiscriminately started on its, I didn't tell it to do anything,
And it just starts handing out money here and handing out money there and handing out money there. Honey, I would, but look. Okay, so coming back to but if my hand started doing that without receiving instructions from me, you know what's going to happen real soon? My hand is going to lose access to my wallet. I don't trust it anymore. It's not a steward that I can trust.
No discernment.
See, I said there's a new series coming. And it's not really new truths exactly, but I think the illustrations help drive it home.
Yeah.
See? If my own hand, if it started acting by formula, my hand went to a seminar. And it got convinced to certain formulas that it decided, without giving the instruction from my mind, it's going to start taking money out of my wallet according to these certain formulas. I'm telling you right now, if I catch my hand doing that, it's going to lose its access to my money.
Wow.
See, and if your life is a steward, that's what it is. It's got nothing against Daisy, but I'm your steward. You know, if that's what you're called to do, Lord, if you need money, come to me. I'm your steward, Lord. I've got it. It's here. And if he finds he can trust you in the little, it doesn't start at the $1 million level.
Amen.
It starts at the $5, $10 normally.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. If he finds you faithful, he says, I might can trust this hand with more of my money. Finds you faithful, I might can trust this hand with more of my money.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's the principle. If he finds you faithful in little, if he finds you faithful in the unrighteous mammon, then he starts trusting you with the true riches, and that's people.
Amen.
Anyway, hallelujah. It's good stuff. It's going to be nice, isn't it? It's going to be good. I'm hesitant to do this one because it's meat. And I don't know everybody here. And I don't know everybody that's going to hear the tape. Boy, now you're going to have to listen to me and listen carefully. Because if you make what I'm about to say into a formula, the devil's going to take you by the nose and lead you into bankruptcy. Now you listen to what I'm saying, okay? Do not make a formula out of what I'm about to tell you. But he won't let me off the hook with this. If you really start becoming his steward and your life is not your own, if he finds out he can really trust you with some things, sometimes it's a whole lot more than a one-time little offering of $50 or $100 or even $5,000. Sometimes he'll take you into something. There was a certain situation quite a few years ago. This person was in really bad shape. Even Dave prophesied to this person in a line. Says, you're right at the edge of stepping off in the hill. You're right at the edge. God's doing His best to rescue you. Well, that was an assignment that we received from the Lord, that person. And I can't tell you details because I don't want you to. But He had us do something financially that helped rescue that person who is today in full-time ministry. Okay? That took us 3 years to pay off with a pretty good payment, about almost $400 a month for 3 years. Okay? Did you get a hundredfold return on that?
No.
Yes? That soul is on our account. That soul and all that person gathers in.
Amen.
Into the kingdom is on our account.
Amen.
Now this gospel is a whole lot different than what's being taught out there.
Yes.
Okay? You say, well, couldn't he have just manifested it to you? He could have, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't really affect us. Not really. You know, you can only eat so many meals a day, only drive one car at a time.
Amen.
You know? But I don't know what he's not letting me. See, you guys are you're coming into some things. You guys are not babies. And you got to understand now this. I always get amazed how the comments tie in with where we are in the confessions. Because see right there, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. Well, is that true? What if it'll take you 3 or 4 years? What if it take you 22 years to accomplish? Sue and I are still confessing something that the Lord said to us in July of 1987. Everyone say out loud, 1987. What year is this? 2007. How long is that?
20 years.
We're still confessing and possessing that promise. And the day will come when we'll see it. Because our God cannot lie. Okay? Now, with all of that, I've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I am a first-class servant. See, that's Luke 17, verses 1 through 10, where that is the first-class servant. The first-class servant's attitude is, I don't even need a thank you. I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm not doing these things for profit. I've only done that which it is my duty to do. Lord, I am your servant. If it takes 12 years to pay the next one off, I'm your servant. Whatever you ask me, Lord, that's what I do. Got that? Hallelujah. But I wasn't going to tell you all this till later. Because, see, let me show you the other end of that pendulum. I showed you the servant end. One of the things I did this last week is I got to meet with some of the young men that come down and pray. We went over to an old coffee shop and spent an hour and a half together, and just they could ask questions. We just talked about things. But one of the things that we talked about it quite at length, I mean, these are young ministers that have moved here because of the message. They're aspiring to ministry. So one of the things we talked about at length is that ministry is not about things. Ministry is about people. So we talked about Matthew 6:33, isn't it, where it says, be not like the Gentiles, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I said, look, God's not against you having things. He knows you need things, but your life can't be about things. Your life, your ministry is about people. And all that time in the prayer closet and praying and fasting and the Word and all of that is to mold us into His image so there's a more pure ministry to the people. I said, the promise is God will take the things, you'll get them. That all these things shall be added. Now, I left that meeting. It takes about 15 minutes for me to drive home from there. Walked in the front door. Sue's on the phone. And at that minute, my cell phone begins to ring. And I got to be, it's totally anonymous. I can't give you a clue who this is. But I answer the phone. It's somebody in another state. And gets to talking with me and says, we talk about, people always say hem-haw around, How you doing? Good. How's your family? Great. How's your grass? It's okay. They start getting around to the point, Said, hey, do you guys have an HD TV? And I go, no. High definition? I said, no, we've got a TV that we've had for 7 years. It's a good TV. And there's HD in the area, but we don't have an HD TV. She said, she. Anyway, that person said, we just came into a large amount of money unexpectedly. And we want to share some of it with you. She says, now we've given to the ministry before, but now I'm going to ask you to promise me something. I'm going to send you some money personally, not to the ministry. Are you hearing me? Personally, if you promise me, you'll use it to buy an HD TV. She says, now if you're not going to use it for that, I'm not going to send it to you. Do you understand me? And I said, well, send it. Who am I to resist God? I didn't say that. I said, well, send it. And so she was waiting for her check to clear the bank. And so probably in a week, that money's going to be here. I hung it up. Now I'm going, now what are the odds? Why, God's timing. Why does He lay it on her heart to call me? I just spent about an hour and a half talking with these aspiring ministries. Don't spend your life about things. Spend your life seeking after your calling and to obey God. And all the things will be added to you. And like, God, just to make the point, just to show me. I mean, a TV is not exactly a necessary thing. I mean, HD TV, it's like He went out of His way to send me something almost frivolous. Just to make the point. He's not against those things. And He can get them to us if we'll just be faithful in our calling. See? Now see, somebody will hear this, trust me, somebody will hear this. And their formula mind will be, if I go talk to somebody about Matthew 6:33, God will send me a new TV. No, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about, okay? But that cannot be coincidence. That just can't be coincidence. The timing of it. You know, God knows how I am. If He has to, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He has to do things so I get it. You know? So within 15 or 20 minutes of that whole deal, here comes a thing. I haven't even asked Him. I haven't even yet started looking, really. I mean, you know, I haven't even asked for one. But all these things shall be added. Isn't that cool? I just think that's just way cool, you know? Hallelujah. All right.